Congress has a heightened interest in the D.C. area's Metro Rail service these days. Even 2 weeks before a year-long track-fixing program even starts, service disruptions were making life difficult for hundreds of thousands of federal employees, to say nothing of tens of thousands of congressional staff members. Joining me with more, Northern Virginia Congressman Don Beyer. Congressman, good to have you back.
Yeah, thank you, Tom, very much.
So what are you hearing? What does it look like from the point of view of Congress, this burgeoning problem with Metro Rail?
Oh, it's such mixed news. Just getting to work this morning took 70 minutes when it usually takes 25 or 30, just because of the discombobulation with Metro. Yeah, that's the bad news. The good news is that the new general manager is committed to taking 3 years worth of maintenance and squeezing it into 1 year. And that will be very good in terms of restoring confidence in the safety of the system.
Just to clarify, you yourself take Metro in?
Off and on. Some days it's pretty easy. I'm a couple blocks from King Street, and that's a quick trip. But if I have to move around later in the day, I'll bring the car.
All right. And so you say there is congressional faith in Paul Wiedefeld. He comes, I guess, from BWI Airport, but he made a bold stroke early on in that one-day shutdown, and that seemed to get a lot of people's attention.
Yeah, and he's made a bold stroke again in terms of, well, you know, he's let a bunch of people go. He's trying to hold the folks there much more accountable. He's begun the process of turning the culture around, so it becomes much more safety-oriented, much more customer service-oriented. But he's got a big job, and I really love his whole safe track, fast track plan, where he's going to try to take all these years of deferred maintenance and squeeze them into one, you know, really tough schedule. And we're all going to have to adapt. You know, Beth Cobert, who runs OPM, has been very friendly and flexible in terms of thinking about how we can minimize the impact on federal employees and more telework, staggered hours, things like that.
Because a lot of agencies have been a little reluctant, and maybe there's been some backpedaling on telework in the last couple of years, or people are worried about productivity and so forth, but it seems like this could really be a test almost of continuity, as the service disruptions are going to probably be pretty severe.
Yeah, very much so. And we just have to be as practical as we can, and having OPM help lead on it is great. And she's been working with the heads of all the different departments and agencies, trying to make sure that they are sensitive to the fact that, man, if it takes a long time to get to work, it's discouraging and your work product's not maybe going to be the best.
Now, the Transportation Department has jumped in on this. First, they got in through the safety oversight of Metro, but now it seems to have gone up to the secretary level. Do you think they really need the Transportation Department effort, or can Metro do this with itself and its own board?
Well, I think we're all going to have to pull together. You know, one of the things that the National Transportation Safety Board, NTSB, recommended was outside safety oversight. There's been a little debate about whether it should be the Federal Transit Administration or the Federal Railway Administration. Turns out that Secretary Fox said FTA, although they're apparently hiring some safety experts from the Federal Railway Administration to make sure they can get it done. But what we all want is the system where we're not afraid when we get on it.
Now, the issue of the culture of Metro, this has been built up over 40 years of operation. And even if they get the track fixed, what, if anything, does Congress think it can do, or do you even worry about the long-term management such that safety becomes a part of the culture, which apparently it really hasn't been except more than lip service at this point?
Yeah, I do think we have to worry about it, and at least in our many conversations, and we've been here very bipartisan, both bicameral, Maryland and Virginia, D.C., all working with Paul and with Jack Evans and the board, is safety, and Paul's been very clear that that's his number one priority. And then B goes hand in hand, the culture of safety. You know, it's hard to turn a ship around, but and you can't do it just by, you know, eliminating people, and you certainly can't do it just by cutting pay. It's more a matter of just day in and day out promoting a culture of safety and a culture of operational excellence. When you do that, when people are proud of where they're going to work, they understand that that's who you are. Then you get there, but. You know, I think the last Harvard Business Review talks about how you get a great and a different culture. And it says the way you do it is by doing your job really, really well.
We're speaking with Don Beyer. He's a Democrat who represents Virginia's 8th District. And what about your own staff? I mean, most of the congressional staffers, I think, probably don't drive in. Maybe the senior ones do. But the kids, there's thousands of them. What are they telling you?
Almost all of our staff take the Metro. I think we have maybe one driver. And so some days, you know, people aren't getting here till 9:30 or 9:45, and they're texting me at 7:30 saying, you know, they're at the metro station, they'll get here when they can. So we just have to be flexible.
And any prospects for stream of funding that Metro needs, as opposed to the multi-jurisdictional pass-the-hat approach, do you see any gambit or any tendency on Congress to maybe appropriate funds for Metro?
Well, let me give you, the yin and the yang. On the one side, we're significantly short on an annual basis. You know, the fares, even though they're too high, aren't enough to carry the system. So, and right now, the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments, the Board of Trade, and members of Congress, everyone's thinking together, talking together about finally biting the bullet, coming up with a sustainable long-term funding stream. It's going to have to come from Virginia, Maryland, D.C., and the federal government, the four major partners.
But what then do you say to, say, MBTA and Metra and MTA in New York and all the other big transit systems when the money goes to Washington, D.C.?
Well, they're all getting some money, too, out of the annual transportation budgets. But the biggest thing we say is, look, Metro is America's transit system. And more than half of federal employees get to work on the Metro. We're the most important city in the world and with probably the most important transportation needs. So, you know, this is a federal system, not just a local system. A bunch of people going to the local jobs. Who are actually helping to manage and make our country great.
But if there was funding for Metro, do you see it as for maintenance or for capital expenditures?
That was the yin and the yang. That's the first half. The second half is we really have to think about a long-term capital funding stream, too. Because right now, we're in the seventh year of the so-called PREA agreement that Congressman Jim Moran, Congressman Tom Davis put together that does $150 million from the federal government every year, matched by the three jurisdictions. But we need a lot more than that. We need another tunnel under the Potomac. Almost all the railroad ties in Virginia have to be replaced, and much, much more. There's an enormous backlog of deferred maintenance and deferred infrastructure investment. And that's going to have to be a different funding stream.
I guess when people first saw the Metro, since the ties were concrete, it looked like they would never wear out.
And apparently the ones underground do pretty well. But the ones up on the surface, you know, they get rain and snow and ice and it's starting to get some age on them, you know, 35, 40 years.
Any further thoughts on Metro and what Congress might do?
Now, well, it was great. You know, Steny Hoyer, who's the minority whip and was majority leader back when Dems were called all of us together, Democrat and Republican, last week, just to make sure that we were answering the Washington Post editorial cry for a champion. And the commitment was that together we would be that champion and do everything we could to help stimulate and support the local governments, provide congressional leadership, try to do concrete things. We have to have Metro. The functionality of our nation's capital depends on it.
Don Beyer is a Democrat representing Virginia's 8th District. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, very much.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.